calling it an authority because I don't know what else to call it. This seemed different. And I was very grateful to the Lord for that. And there was, the whole time we were there, things were making sense to me. I'm one of those guys that actually is always questioning, like, okay, Lord, are we doing the right thing? Is this, you know, are we supposed to be here? Are we supposed to be doing this? And the Lord just gave me such a peace and such an assurance. And I realized maybe it had to do with the audience too. They were needy and they were very grateful and they were very hungry. And so that was also encouraging. All right, we do carry a message and we have the authority to speak it over these people, and it is really going to help them and it is really going to promote them. So I don't know if that's making sense to you. It's not quite fully making sense to me yet, but I guess my part of the report is I was very grateful, and you might recognize some faces here from Bothell, and Ann and Liz actually happened to be in Los Angeles. I guess Liz is looking at going to UCLA, and that wasn't planned, but we said, hey, we could use an extra prayer team Saturday. And so here we are in Los Angeles, and when our prayer teams from Bothell shows up, helps us. And you'll probably also recognize, I think, is that Annie back there? Okay. Annie trained here, and Eunice, who's come up for the conference from Orange County. So we had two people from the Orange County prayer teams come and help us. And then this is a couple that did hear us in Kona that attends that church. So I don't know how much influence they had on the pastor, but as we kind of pieced together how we got invited there, I think maybe that was some influence as well. So who wants to go next?
Kathy?
All right.
I have some more pictures. I have some more pictures if there's something too, Marcia.
Okay,
Sarah,
yeah. What?
Sarah. Oh, yeah, Sarah's
here. Yeah, Sarah's here. Yeah.
Where's?
In the other picture.
Okay, right here, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good eye there. Yeah.
Good eye. And these two that are sitting across from Sarah and myself and Annie, they had already gotten prayer from another prayer team, but they saw that we were finished, and so they came right over there and sat down and talked a little bit, and they go, yeah, well, would you pray for us again? Because this is so much fun. We just loved it. So we got to pray for them again. But in our prayer times, we're very tender, very, they really connected with the prayer that they received, and even the stronghold. And I noticed a lot of the young men, they were probably how old? In their 20s? Yeah, that they really connected with the prayer, and even just weeping and crying and repenting. And there were a few, and like Pastor John said, there were a couple that we prayed for that were suicidal and had suicidal thoughts, and they just look altogether wonderful. And as Pastor John said, there were probably a lot more than that who struggled with that, their, you know, value and worth. And so, but it was really fast and furious. I think Pastor John taught 6 weeks in 3 hours. Seriously, I'd never seen it like that. And it was like, we're done? You know, it was like, he really did it. It was amazing. Yeah, amazing job. And so it was just a good time.
Okay. Yeah, amen. Thanks, Marcia. I think the one thing I'm noticing is there is a shift in the American Korean churches, because a lot of them are, they have a Korean ministry and they have an English ministry, and they're very divided. And there's a few pastors that we're starting to meet now where they're like, it can't be that way. And so this was the English side that we got to do, but he really has a heart for them blending together to gap that generation. And so I feel like lately we're seeing a shift there, and I just really, it's been exciting to see that. So that's what I kind of came away with.
Yeah, this is the pastor here, and he's a humble guy, and his wife. And it took me till the end of the trip to realize, oh, this is the guy. This is the senior pastor. All he told me was, I'm overseeing the English ministry, and that's where we ministered. And many times, large Korean churches like this will have five or six pastors and one guy that speaks English doing the English ministry. But again, it took me till we were ready to leave, and I realized, oh, you're not just the EM pastor. You're over the whole congregation. So Kathy's right. That really was an interesting insight, that he has such a heart for all these young people, because he was telling me afterwards, he says, yeah, I've seen them since we're little and grown up, and now I'm filling in because there's not anyone else to do it, but they're all with these heartbreaking struggles. And as Marsha already shared with you, it was an honor for us to be able to show up and encourage some of these young people that are adults entering the workplace, but in an immigrant ethnic community, struggling with identity and all those issues. And so in one weekend, we were able to praise some original design over them and encourage them. So thank you for your prayers. October is going to be busy as well, and we'll fill you in as we get closer to some of those events. But God's moving, and he's doing it here, and our scope of influence keeps getting wider and wider, and we'll just trust God and praise God for that. So that's the report kind of wanted to give you, and again, thank you for your prayers and for everyone that carried extra weight as we were out of town. All right, that's it. Dennis, on to you.
All right, how is everybody? Amen. What an exciting time we live in, isn't it? But God is on the move, as they were talking about, and he's on the move here in our lives. He's on the move here in this church, in this city. And yes, he used John very powerfully down in California, and the influence is spreading. But you have influence as well. Right. And the enemy wants to come against that influence. And it's a little early for Christmas, but I thought this was pretty cheerful, the presence. And it's out of Romans 6, and I call it the gift chapter, because as I read through it, this is something that the Lord has been speaking to me since the day I surrendered, and it was, believe what's written. The simplicity. If it says it, I can believe it. If it says it about me, that's what he means. And even throughout these years, it's been a big message for me. And I hope that tonight we are encouraged, and that, not literally, but we have a mind explosion. Because we always talk about, we speak it as getting God out of the box, taking God out of the box. We don't want to put God in a box. But when we take God out of the box and our minds are still in a box, there's some hindrance to what we accept, what we believe. And I really am excited. I was really excited about this. It is exciting what it says in Romans chapter 6. So we have a bunch of gifts that are going to be exposed here tonight. And hopefully by the end of the night, we are all excited. Because number one, let me see if I'm going to push this right. Okay, so I'm going to read through this, and then I'm going to go through it again, through a second time. And I understand that there may have been some technical difficulties because I'm still learning the computer. But read along with me, please. And this is titled, "The Sin of or The Power of Sin is Broken." And it says this: "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. I'm losing my place here. Let me go this way. I'll follow it here. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Interesting picture. This is what the power of sin was in us before we accepted Christ. It was there. It would have been able to produce. It would have been able to grow. It would have been able to control us. But since we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, and by what He did on the cross, that is the result. The sin has been broken. The power of that sin has been broken. So I love that little resemblance. And as it talks about this picture, I found very comforting in saying that this is that baptism. It's resembling going, being buried, and then being raised as a new creation in Christ. Now, I'm going to flip slide here. Okay, so since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ. Are you picking up a little, I'm at a loss for the word, but there's a scenario being created or a picture being painted here. There's the word you were and you are. So there's a past tense and there's a present tense. So in this, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to God, or to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. There's something that's really exciting here, because we often hear in Scripture that we will do the same things that Christ did, even greater than. Okay? So I want to point this out here. I think it's in my following slide, but this is exciting to me. I want to share it with you. It says right here, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. You. Okay? So I'm going to go back a slide. And what does this say? But now that he lives for the glory of God. That's Christ. Go back over here. This is you. Christ did it. And you can do it. Because it says you can. It's a choice. And we have a choice. And the enemy would love for us to get our mind wrapped around, oh, well, maybe might in future, someday, I still have this old self and it's still struggling with me. But that's not what his word says. His word says you can do it. Amen. His word states that you have been set free. Okay, well, I'm getting a little excited. Let me breathe. This is something we should be excited about. This is identity. This is opposite of what the enemy has been telling us all these years, that you can't have this yet. You have to die first before you get there. Okay? Do you have to die before you get this? We're going to look at that later. We have a little bit of time. But see, aren't these beautiful presents? Don't you like to open presents? When we open the Word of God, there's so many presents in there for us. There's so many truths in there for us. There's a life in there for us that we never knew, but now we do. We never saw it coming, but now we get to experience it. We're no longer slaves to that sin. We're no longer slaves to that old person. We've been set free. It says in his word, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It doesn't say it might be. It might down the road, further ahead, when you repent 30,000 more times, and when you confess 450,000 more sin, then you'll be set free. No, he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I want to declare that now. I have been set free. It's Christ who lives in me, not I who live. And so we have a new identity. So, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? It kind of sounds like a repeat from the very beginning, doesn't it? Something very significant about that. Of course not. Do you not realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Huge word right here. Two words. You choose. The enemy doesn't control you. The enemy can't make you deny God. The enemy can't make you serve the Lord or serve him. But you choose. Great gift of God. We just got to unwrap a little present there. It's called choice. Amen? So, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you, and now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Has anyone's life changed since you said yes to the Lord? Yes. Have you recognized that you're starting to have a life of righteousness, that there are righteous things taking place in your life? Decisions you're making are not the decisions you used to make, but are a whole new way of thinking. Oh, wait a minute. It sounds like our mind's being renewed. It says it in the Word. Amen? So his Word is true. Let's have that mind explosion and really believe it. Amen. Truly, without a doubt, without question. And lovely puppy dog, huh? That brought a smile to me, too. I saw that picture and I said, I got to put that in there. Look at how happy he looks. He looks excited to come out of that box. Guess what? That was us in that box when we were serving the enemy, when we were living in the world, when we were doing things our own way, when we didn't know the truth, when we didn't have truth in our life, when we didn't have an identity that was our real identity. We had a fake identity, and we were in that box. And God came, Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he has set us free, and we can have that joy. I think we're experiencing some of that joy today. We're experiencing freedom today. There's nothing holding that dog back any longer. Hallelujah. There's nothing holding us back any longer from walking in the power and authority of Christ. There's nothing holding us back saying, be healed in Jesus' name. There's nothing holding us back from being that confident in our God and being that, dependent Yes, we're independent. Yes, we can speak boldly. We can go out boldly. We can declare truth. And we can say, yes, this is who I am. And it's not me boasting about myself. I'm always going to need God. When we get to heaven, guess what? We're going to need God when we get there. Because if he's not there, then it isn't heaven. So we still need him even when we die and we get promoted and we get new garments. We need him to be there. We'll always need him. So it's not me boasting. It's me agreeing with what his word says. Hallelujah. Are you getting excited yet? I'm getting excited. I can't help but get excited. Because this is where crazy faith comes in. This is where miracles come in. This is where no doubt, doubt's washed out, man. I'm believing in what God says. Hallelujah. Let me change slides here. There's no present. Our mind is getting renewed here. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Huge instruction here. Christ tells us to be holy as he is holy. There's a way to do that. He's giving us the instruction right here to teach us, to expose, to allow our minds to accept what he says here. Now you must give yourselves to be a slave to righteous living. So what does that produce? So that you will become holy. And that goes in, coincides with be holy as I am holy. So here he's giving us the instruction, so what? So we can be like him. We aren't going to be him, but we can be like him. Be holy as he is holy. Amen? Yeah, I can even stop right there, man. Come on now. You know what? Hallelujah. We got another slide. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do what is right. How many people walked in that? Come on, when I didn't have an obligation to be right, I wasn't right. I didn't treat people right. Why? Because I didn't have an obligation to. But now that I received Christ, guess what? Well, look at the next sentence. And what was the result? It allows us time to think about what the result was before Christ, about what our life looked like before we accepted the truth. So you are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. Those were things, wait a minute, what does it say? This is on the other thing, but it's things you used to do. Not the things you do now. That's a past tense term. Hallelujah. He picked you up and set you apart. He picked you up on that side of Pacific Avenue and brought you on this side of Pacific Avenue. Amen? And I can go back to that side and I can come back here. I can be bold here and I can be bold over there. I can love a brother here and I can love a brother there. Just because I go back over on the other side of Pacific Avenue doesn't mean I go back into that old way of doom and gloom. I carry the light of Jesus with us over there. Amen. Wherever we go now, because of what he's done, we carry what he says he has given us. We are who he says we are. Hallelujah. But now you are free from the power of sin, and you have become slaves of God. Now you do the things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Man, what a difference from up before, huh? What a difference, a complete paradigm shift from doom and gloom to eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Do you see a theme yet? Summing things up. These are some of the questions that I highlighted a little bit. So one of the questions, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? I think everybody can answer that one. No, we shouldn't. The grace he gives, the grace that is available to us, we thank the God for. But we don't continue in sin just so we can experience his grace. When we experience his grace, it should be such an experience that we hate the sin that brought us to have to ask him for his grace. We should hate the sin. Don't get me wrong. We need the grace. We desire the relationship. But his grace is extended so we hate that sin, because that sin is something that's meant to take us out of the relationship with God and out of life. And prior in this, we have victory over that sin. We have been set free. We are no longer slaves. Oops, sorry. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined in Christ in baptism, we were joined to death? Again, have we got so busy in today's life, even in ministry, have we allowed ourselves to get so busy that we forget the simplicity of the gospel, that we forget the power of what he says? Because we're loving people, we're serving. But you know, I had to get escorted back to chapter 6, and then this reminded me of the excitement when I was first saved, because I had forgotten. God puts things in our life at a particular point in our walk to remind us so that we don't forget. So that the things that is this life that we have been given, so we don't forget. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can't go on sinning? Again, faced with a question, but we're also faced with a decision. Can you go on sinning? Sure. If you choose. If we choose, right? We have the choice. Can we? Yes. Do we want to? No. But the choice is ours. And that was a gift in the beginning. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do what? Do right. And what was the result? I talked about that earlier. But again, it allows us to remember, to recall. Not only do we recall the life before, but that's not our identity. But it is a measuring stick of where we once were and where God has us today. Amen? And the difference of things that are going on in our life today is because the thing we have going on in today is because we're not slaves to sin anymore. I started this off. This was I'll be honest with you. I was going to do this all the way through the whole chapter. I found a different way, and I'm hoping it came out all right. But I was going to list all these things. And it says, since we have died to sin, past tense, doesn't mean you're going to die to sin, doesn't mean you might die to sin, it's already taken place. You have died to sin. Sin's no, and if it's dead, who brings it to life? Who gives it life? The enemy tries to bring it back up and put it inside you and to get you to hold on to it and get you to entertain it. You were joined with Christ in baptism. Doesn't mean you might be down the road. Doesn't mean you're going to be joined with Christ when you hit heaven. No, you were joined with him in baptism. You were. Past tense. That means, guess where you are now? I'm joined with Christ. I'm no longer alone. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Can our minds even begin to wrap around that? I believe they can. And I think on my last slide, there might be a scripture that refers to it, that our mind can. I'll bring that up at the end, okay? So don't anybody leave. There's something coming at the end. So it says, now we also may live new lives. It doesn't say next week. It doesn't say tomorrow. Right now. Right now. And I love the fact that right now, every moment, I'm in a new right now. When I'm on my way home tonight, it's a new right now. I can choose things right now that are different from when I was living in the world. Even different things now than when I was walking with the Lord a week ago or yesterday. Today, right now, I can live and live in a new place. Amen? So we have been united with him in his death. Again, have been. We will also be raised to life as he was. Amen. So if we joined him in death, and we have, and we will be. There isn't, well, you might be if you're good enough. There's not, well, if you only do this, or if you only do that, or if you only attend this church, or if you only attend that church, if you go out and you share the gospel to 15 people. But it just says it right there, that we will also be raised. Amen? Okay, now, this is where it starts over. I kind of went to the easy part, I thought, for me anyways. Some of these, we will also be raised to life as he was. It says, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Past tense. We are no longer slaves to sin. That's right now. We are no longer slaves to sin. And then we know we will also live. We don't have to question, do we? We don't have to have any doubt. We can declare it. We can believe it. We can be confident in it. We can be bold in it. And this is where it kind of got weirded. Sorry about that. This is where it really went weird. So, I want to go back because that doing the same thing as Christ did in verse 10, it says, you know, when he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. He lives for the glory of God. And then, it also tells us to do that same thing in the next slide, but it right here it says, so you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. You should consider yourselves. And so if we look at ourselves as we are dead to that, our choice is the only thing that can put life back in it, right? We would have to choose to put life and breathe life back into that sin, that slave to sin. It couldn't come up if we don't give it the authority, because who has given you all authority? You possess it. He says, you will do the same things I have done, even greater than, okay? So we should consider ourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive. I love that, because guess what? The enemy ain't got nothing on you. The enemy does not have anything on us. We are alive, and we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to God. Amen. This is an interesting thing, because do not let sin control the way you live. You have a choice. You have authority. You have power. Right? Can you accept that?
Yeah.
Can I accept that? Yeah. When it says, do not let your... It isn't saying let somebody else tell you that they're going to control the sin so you don't walk into it. You. Don't let sin. You. Don't let sin. Dennis, don't let sin. Any of us can say that. I'm not going to let sin control the way I live. And we're pursuing a life of righteousness. I love that little part in there where it said, be holy, as you know, it'll produce a life. The life of righteousness will produce a life of being holy. Amen? So we can be that place. We can get to that place. Why? Because it says in Scripture. This is a huge thing for me. Oops. The pointer. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. There's victory. There's victory. We're in this world. We're not of this world. We're passing through. This chapter, all these things that we're talking about, some of these things that I'm pointing out are our real identity. Paul was accused of preaching false doctrine, but in this chapter, it's really, if a Christian, if we call ourselves Christian and we believe what this thing says, and we state it, and yet we continue to sin, Paul says that we deny our identity. Then if we continue to do that, we deny our identity in Christ. Our identity is what he's saying here. We've been set free from the power of sin. We're no longer slaves. We have died. We're joined together with Christ. And when we start receiving those truths, when we start letting our mind go outside of our cranium, our brain, let it explode, go out to the outermost cosmos and say, Lord, you know what? I am believing. And if some people call me crazy, amen, because I'm crazy for Christ. And I'm going to believe in the craziness, because man can't understand it that's in the world. We sometimes have a hard time even understanding it or allowing ourselves to be ushered to a place of releasing our understanding and accepting God speak into our life. We hear it spoken, but we have a hard time allowing it to penetrate and become this vessel. But God wants us to. God wants us to be excited to be able to walk in this. God wants us to be excited about speaking about Jesus, about speaking about, guess what? That's who I was. That's not who I am. If my old nature's dead, I'm not going to bring it back to life, because I've been set free. I'm not tethered to that anymore. I've been created new. My old sinful self was put to death. And if my old sinful self is put to death and it's in the grave and I'm over here on this side, this is my new self that God created. I'm not going to get a shovel and keep going back over here and digging this up and saying, come on, you're going to come with me. There's no ifs and or buts about it. That is dead, and it can remain dead, and you have the choice to keep it in its grave. You have the power to keep it in its grave. So, what does this say? Sin is no longer your master. If it's no longer your master, it used to control you. If it is no longer your master, that means, wait a minute, it doesn't own you. You're not in its possession. And this is what gets me excited, because I'm not very educated, okay? No, I'm not going to say that. I'm a little bit educated. But if I read it, and it says, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law, that's what I'm going to believe. And that's what I'm going to stand on. And if it says it, I'm going to believe it. And it takes me back. I said it today in Food Bank. Today in prayer, there was people praying about mind being renewed, about, you know, the doubt and that all being washed out, and a crazy amount of faith for Christ and His Word come into my mindset, have my mind renewed to the point of, man, if God says I've given power over the demonic, I'm going to have power over the demonic, and I'm going to speak to it as I have power. I'm going to be bold. We can be bold like that. We can be excited like that. We can live this life in complete peace because God has set us free. We're no longer, sin is no longer your master. You've been set free. You have been set free. There's no more chain holding you down. You can fly with the eagles. Hallelujah. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Freedom. That means freedom. When I read freedom, I read freedom. Okay? I mean, it's simple. We can have the joy of the Lord. We can embrace this new identity. We can embrace this out of normal thinking. I don't want to be polluted with the things of this world. Or man says this, or man says that. Or you can't believe that way. Because it says it. I can believe it. I don't have to understand everything. If it says it, I can do it. If it says you'll set captives free, I can do that. It's by the words of your testimony. It says that. Guess what? Let me see what the next slide is. Oops, am I pushing the right button? Did it freeze up? It froze up. See, so much excitement. There's so much joy. It froze the machine. Okay? So, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, okay, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God. You can do it. Either way. But I want to point this out because this ministered to me, and I really had to maybe, well, battery went dead. What does it say at the beginning? You can. You can be a slave to sin, or you can choose. You have what you need to have to make the right choices. You have the authority to make the right choices. You have the right mindset to make the right choices. You have the right relationship with Jesus to make the right choices. But we have to make the right choices, don't we? We have to make the right choices. It becomes a desire to make the right choices. When we forgive somebody, praise God, we get to do that, and that brings excitement. This life is an exciting life. Okay? But look what it leads to, righteous living. Once you were slaves, again, once you were slaves, it's past tense. I'm no longer a slave. I'm tired of people saying, man, I'm this or I'm that. I totally dislike the word addict. Totally. Because not one person in this world was given that label by God. Wherever they are. Okay? Not one person. Look at verse 18. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. What's that mean? I can walk out those doors. If this is prison, guess what? The gates just got broke open through no power of mine, and I can walk out in freedom. Amen. Why? Because His Word says I can. Amen? Now you are free from slavery. Righteous living. I love that place. You know what? I've been behind those gates. I've been behind those bars. And they only opened up when they were supposed to. And it wasn't a real pleasant place to be. I'll just say that. If you've been there, you can create a whole workout on just the bars. And they don't move. It's a whole gym set right there in a cell. Praise God, I am set free. Those gates have broken. The locks are no longer locked. The door gates swing open, and we walk out of it together. We all have been set free. We all can walk out of that. We don't have to tiptoe. We can go boldly. We can stand up. We can have our heads high because we're proud of our God who has set us free. Amen? Previously, that's just these highlights are a little bit off my format. That was a technical difficulty. But previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity. That was previous. That's not now. Okay? Again, past tense. We're in a new place. Our minds are in a new place. Our thinking is in a new place. Our heart is in a new place. Our body is in a new place. Our relationship with God is in a new place. It's not I knew of God, but now I know God. It's in a new place. The priority of God and Jesus in my life is in a new place. And each and every one of us can be right there, and we can be excited about this new place that God has us. Because we know the death and the destruction that was back there. We can be excited about restoration of our families. We can be excited for deliverance from our children who are struggling with alcohol because of our God. He's done it for us, and He will do it for them. He didn't create them to be there where they are. He didn't create us to be back there. He created us to be where we are today. Amen? When you were, past tense again, you were, okay, free from obligation. That's again, past tense. Right here. But now you are free. Now you might be, again, all this is right now. You are free. Again, get my mind off, I don't have to do certain things to achieve this, but all I have to do is believe this. Okay? And now you do the things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. We can be holy as He is holy. We seek the right things, we can arrive at the right place. We believe His truth, we can walk in this. When we choose it, it's ours because He gave it to us. If we ask, we shall receive. And we want to receive this identity in Christ, amen? We want to receive these truths that He set us free. I receive that. I am set free. You are set free. But I like this. You know, all those presents and all those fancy little boxes at the beginning. I didn't see this till later on today. But it's a free gift. Those were gifts. But it was a free gift of God. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is my last slide. There's faith. There's identity, big identity in this chapter 6 of Romans. There's a lot of things that speak about who you are and who you are. Who you are. It exposes who you were, but this tells us who you are. Okay? This is supposed to be hope. There's power. There's truth. But it says, I want to make sure, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. If we seek Him, He will direct us. If we ask, He shall give. If we receive, it will be ours. Amen? And this is what I want to pray tonight. So will everybody stand up? I want to pray. And I do, it's going to be a simple prayer. It's not going to be long drawn out. It's going to be very simple, very much to the point. Father, we thank You for Your truth that was revealed tonight. And God, I would ask that You remove my understanding and impart what You want me to have and teach me. Teach us Your ways, Lord. Open our minds to have it filled with Your truth, the way You want it, not the way that I might lean on my understanding the way it should be. But truly, remove myself so that I can receive everything. We can receive everything that You have for us the way You want it, the supernatural, there's no limit with You, God. Take us there, Lord. Take us there, Father. Let not the things of this world distract us. We cast out unbelief and we receive heavenly belief, God. Believing things that are beyond ourselves. And God, we do receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, everybody.